Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're
best friends. You know what I just realized?
What?
We've been doing this for 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
We should celebrate. We should like...
What do you want to do?
We can't do anything, but we can celebrate.
Yeah.
When we can be normal again, we'll go
there
or something.
Yeah.
3 years. Wow.
I know. Amazing.
And we should have some exciting news about the podcast coming up soon. Thank you to all who bought Crappy Friends for Christmas presents.
We're
pleased about that.
Thank you very much.
You know, and in the doldrums of winter, which is what happens after Christmas, winter just lasts for the next 3.5 months with nothing exciting happening. If you haven't read the book, great time to do so.
It is. It's a very good time to do so.
So visit crappyfriends.net. You can find all the info there.
It's good to see you. Good to see you, dear. Yeah. Good to see you.
We have a really... important letter, I think, this week.
Yes.
And there's a lot of stuff in it. So why don't you get us started, Joss?
And so I shall. Dear ladies, I thoroughly enjoy your podcast.
Thank you.
I've saved several episodes to listen to several times. Enough about me. I want to tell you of a situation where I was the crappy friend. And as much as it pains me to remember, I must tell you. My friend, the one that took the brunt of my crappy behavior, was in college at the same time I was. She graduated earlier than I. Everybody graduated earlier than me. I was apparently on the 6-year plan, change your major, flunk out once, and then change your major again. I know people who are on that plan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We wound up working at the same place after graduation. Anyway, my friend Melody, not her real name, is chronically depressed, probably for all her life. I, free spirit that I thought I was, couldn't understand why she didn't just cheer up and get over it. I usually try to include her in social things like going out to lunch with people from work. After she turned down numerous lunch invitations, I just stopped asking. When she asked why I stopped asking, I told her the truth. And then I started trying to include her again, and she did come out with us a few times. That was gratifying, and we both enjoyed it. Her in a subdued way and me in my not so subdued way. Melody was married to Lucifer, not his real name, but apt. A sociopathic asshole, if ever there was one. And Melanie was an abused wife.
She got
pregnant, and I think she hoped that would straighten him out some. He broke her nose while she was holding their little girl. She said her two black eyes happened when she rear-ended another car and she hit the steering wheel. I believed her because she wanted it that way. Melody was carrying around her extremely low self-esteem and probably had always done that. I was still believing she could get over it if she would just cheer up. I still felt badly about my ignorance. She finally went to see a lawyer about a divorce, and I went with her for moral support. She did finally get a divorce. She married several other times over the years, to Beelzebub, the Hound of Hell, and maybe some other no good, abusive, predatory, and otherwise hateful losers. Jesus.
Wow.
And then karma came calling, and a look of you're about to get yours look on her face. She smacked me upside the head, and I fell into a deep clinical depression where I wallowed for several years, feeling like I was at the bottom of a very deep, dark hole. I was agoraphobic, did not want any visual or audible input. I didn't watch TV or listen to music or even read. I lost 30 pounds in less than a month because I didn't care if I ate or not. It crossed my mind that everyone would be better off if I were not there or anywhere. Finally, I was referred to a psychiatrist to prescribe the medications that would eventually drag me out of that hole. We'd not communicated for years after she moved out of town, the town we were both living in. I thought about her over the years and then found her via Facebook. I waffled. What if she didn't want to revive the friendship? It would serve me right for being such an idiot. When I got in touch with Melody again, I included a very lengthy letter revealing my own depression and apologizing for all my stupid efforts to make her cheer up and asking if we could be friends again. She responded in her usual subdued way by saying, "We're good." I guess the point of this letter is to show that a crappy friend can recover and become a decent friend if he or she is shown the way and or has an epiphany. Sincerely, Karma's Bitch. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It is, I think it is really true that you don't understand depression until you have it.
Seriously.
That is the truth. You know, you're not the first person who said, like, why don't you just come out to lunch and cheer up and then your depression will be gone.
Right.
When you have it, it's like you're a different person when you're in its clutches, and it tells you, they say depression lies, it tells you you're worthless, you're, you know, you're meaningless, you know, you're not worth the effort, you're not valuable. And it's brutal, you know, and I speak from experience. And, you know, I know both sides of this. I know that frustration of, like, you know, if you just took a walk every day and got a kitten,
yeah,
you know, you'd be better. And not really understanding how depression can, like, really suck you under.
Right.
And just staying alive can be an effort.
Yeah, it's a good day if you can get out of bed, really.
Yeah, yeah. And your depression sounds, you know, brutal. And I'm so glad that you finally did get some help and climbed out of that. And, you know, I think it's great that you reached out to her and said, I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for not understanding. And if you have some sort of friendship from here on out, I think you'll be a lot kinder to her. However, she is a person who has a lot of issues. And
beyond her own depression, she's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said that... you know, she married a horrible man. She decided a baby would cure him of being abusive. You know, she continued to marry horrible men. And I think that those are red flags that you ignore at your own peril.
I agree.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I agree. I do want to say kudos to you for reaching out, because you didn't have to.
Yeah.
And apologizing and saying all those things. That's really great. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't do that or feel that they needed to do that, or feel that that would even be welcome. So well done for doing that. Poor Melody. Yeah. Trying to recreate a friendship, that was based a lot on you rescuing her or going with her to get out of these horrific situations, I don't know. I would tread lightly. Tread lightly.
You know, I mean, it sounds like you really liked her, you know, from college on, but she has always been the one that you lift up, right?
Right.
Your ebullience and invitations and your determination that you would fix her.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like a woman who can't get out of her own way.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that she isn't better now. We don't know. I mean,
right.
Really hope so. We really hope that she found some self-esteem and got on the right path and started looking after herself and her daughter. But since you don't say that in your letter, and since she did marry several abusive, horrible people, and never really seemed to be able to rally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is, I'm implying, I'm getting this, you know, I'm reading into your letter, but saying you're sorry is a lovely, brave thing.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I didn't understand what you were going through until I experienced it myself, and I'm sorry I wasn't more compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as, so we're friends again.
Right.
Let's hang out. I want to hear all about your life.
Right.
I want to become enmeshed in that again.
Right.
And I think, you know, that she said we're good is her being gracious in return.
Yes.
And yes. And acknowledging that you didn't understand, but it's okay.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that she's a solid enough person to have a healthy relationship with.
I agree. I do think if you try to pursue something, I would pursue it from the stance that this is a brand new friendship and you're just getting to know this person for the first time.
Yeah, that's great. And like I said, I really hope that she has gotten her act together, gotten medications and therapy that she needed, you know, that she's being a wonderful mom, you know. Mm-hmm. But until you know that.
Right.
And it will take a good year, 2 years to really see that.
Yes.
All you know right now is that she has forgiven you for your lack of understanding.
Right.
And that's it. So
right.
It sounds like you grew tremendously and mm-hmm. I mean, that's maybe the only good thing about suffering is what you can learn from it.
Right.
You know, and it's taught you to be more compassionate and maybe to take better care of yourself and good for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And mm-hmm. keep up the good work.
Yeah, but definitely take the time to get to know her again as if she were a brand new person you've never met before. You did say some years had passed before you even reached out to her on Facebook. So even if none of this horrific stuff had happened beforehand, people grow up in the years that you don't see them. And you've got to give people room to show you who they are now.
Yeah.
Give her that space to show that to you.
And take her lead. If she reaches back out to you and says, so how have you been? You know, where do you live now? What are you doing? You know, you can start by those kind of superficial things. This is my job. This is where I live. I have a cat, you know, and you start building on that as if you're just getting to know each other because you are.
Yeah.
You're a different person now.
Don't assume that you can pick back up where you left off.
Yeah.
Not even in the smallest measure. You might like think, oh, we used to do this, or she used to think this, or she used to react this way when I did this, and that may not be true anymore. So really, start from scratch.
Yeah, good advice.
Thank you.
Well, we have another lovely story, actually, about wonderful friends. So I'm going to read that. And again, if you have, we are here to help you deal with crappy friends,
mm-hmm.
to deal with yourself when you've been a crappy friend, to help mm-hmm. you to make good friends. But this letter is absolutely lovely, and we want to hear about your good friends too. So feel mm-hmm. free to send your letters of all kinds, crappy friends, crappy relatives, great friends, great relatives, to theladies@crappyfriends.net, and we will be happy to read your letter.
Yeah. Don't forget also the all important embarrassing personal problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please send those right along.
Through a dry spell, metaphorically and literally, with your letters about embarrassing personal problems. And since I think we have earned a little reciprocity here, listeners. So
come on, you've been stuck in the house with your family. Yeah. Something must have happened.
Yeah. So
come on.
Let's hear it. Okay, so on to our wonderful friend letter. Dear ladies, you ask for wonderful friends, and I have one. Esther, not her real name, and I met in 1995 on an orientation weekend for the Navy Reserves when we moved from separate places on the East Coast to San Diego. We could not be more different, although we are both nurses. She was married with children, working part-time and strongly Protestant. I was single, childless by choice, working more than full-time and strongly Catholic. We barely knew each other when she called me in tears to cancel a lunch date because she needed to have an emergency ultrasound for her second pregnancy, and I volunteered to accompany her. Her husband was at sea. She has seen me through failed romances, lost and found jobs, a PhD, cross-country moves, and my chronic approaching death illness. I have seen her through unexpected childhood conditions, her father's death, cross-country moves, and the struggles of her now adult children. She has the strongest faith I know and the biggest heart. We live within an hour of each other now, and I thank God for her every day. I'm a better person because of her friendship. Sincerely, a better woman.
So lovely. I know. I'm feeling very... tears welling up. It's so lovely.
That is just beautiful. And I'm very sorry that you're ill and and not doing well. And I'm so glad that you have someone like that in your life. It's funny how sometimes a crisis will make a friend. You know, I have no one else to call. I might be miscarrying and go to the hospital.
Right.
And there it is. You know, that's like going through something like that does often create a bond. And it sometimes in emergency situations, when you show up, that is who you are. And you know, you get to be the person that other person needs. And that is a foundation you can build something on.
Absolutely. That's just lovely.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Beautiful story.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a nurse and all your work. And
right now, especially.
Yeah. Take good care of yourselves, Esther, and better woman.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
It was beautiful.
I'm gonna write a letter about you now. I'm inspired.
Oh, that would be really nice. I would love that so much.
It'll be your Valentine from me.
I would love that. I've never had such a good Valentine since, you know, the ones back in first grade with the...
Oh, yeah, I loved those.
With the checkbox, you know?
Make a little mailbox and...
Yeah.
We should do a Galentine special.
Speaking. Oh, we should.
Yeah.
Absolutely, especially this year.
Yes, you know what, listeners? Send us little stories about your best friend.
I love friends.
And we'll have a Galentine's Day. You know what we should do?
What?
Like a Facebook Live with wine. And
All
right.
Let's do it. I love it.
Set that up. Stay tuned, folks, and take care of yourselves. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.